KPCA LP, Petaluma, California.
We are inside Petaluma.
Yes, we are.
We are inside the PCA headquarters.
And I am Cindy Thomas, your co-host with Dan Fittipompson and Jason Davies.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
We do this right here on PCA, KPCA 103.3 FM every Friday morning from 11 to noon. Thanks for being here.
I can't believe it's another Friday.
I know. It goes by really fast.
Time accelerates as you get older.
It accelerates really fast.
It's all relative.
Yeah.
Every year is a smaller fraction of your total.
Well, it's smaller and smaller
now. So as you get to be like 80, it's like, woo!
Are you stopping at a dispensary on the way?
I'm so depressed. I'm way in my
senses. I'm just like this.
We have an audience that's looking at us through the window.
We have visitors.
That's our style of fishbowl.
I know. Everybody's waiting at us.
Hi, everybody. It's like when you do live radio.
Exactly.
You can do this.
Yes. So,
okay. So, wow, what a week.
A crazy
stuff
week.
Going on.
Well, I just want, I've got a couple of things I can talk about, but it's, sad that Robert F. Kennedy and Ethel's granddaughter died of an overdose. What was kind of interesting when I was reading it in the Press Democrat today, because of course I heard it on the news, that it was not a front page. And yet in the past, when you would hear something about the Kennedys, it was always front page news. And so that's the time of the times are changing. And so, but it's very sad, a drug overdose of some type. She had depression, which we know, depression, talking about, the sheriff's department, police departments, mm-hmm. dealing with people that are depressed. It's a sad day.
How old was she?
She's 22.
Wow.
Yeah. And, she talked about depression, that had sexual assault. And yet the family, it said, I was looking up what their net worth was, the big, large family. Mm-hmm. It's about $1 billion. So it doesn't matter how much money you have, mental illness will take over.
That's right.
And that
does
is that.
Not discriminate.
It doesn't discriminate. But, I was reading also in the paper today an editorial op-ed by John Mutz, who ran for sheriff mm-hmm. against Mark Essig. And I thought it was a really good op-ed. I feel like Mark Essig is moving forward, working with the Hispanic community. And that's really positive. And I appreciate that John, a former captain of Los Angeles Police Department and, a candidate for sheriff, is writing positive op-eds about the sheriff. And I want to also say that he came to the Democratic barbecue, which I thought was really important. He spoke, and what he said was 46% of inmates have mental illness in our county jail. And, so mental illness is a big problem in this country. So that's it for me for the moment. Jet, anybody else have anything to say? Of course I have more to say, but.
Yeah, of course you do.
Of course I do.
I want to hear from Jason, who tells me he just came from the gathering at the river.
Yes, there was
something positive.
Mayor pledged for dredge or pledge.
Dredge pledge.
And so our mayor asked that community members come down to the river today over by the yacht club, where our representative Jared Huffman was and representatives from the Army Corps of Engineers. And there were lots of people there with signs pleading with the Army Corps of Engineers to come forward with the funding. They've already put quite a bit into researching for the funding. And so the pledge from our mayor was simply to show that there's a massive amount of community support. So they got several thousand signatures for the petition. And I actually got there just towards the end, but it was pretty well attended. Jared Huffman did speak. And I get, you know, this is part of an ongoing effort to raise awareness and hopefully make an impact on getting some funding for this long overdue dredging project that, as you know, it makes it difficult for voters to use the river. It also, of course, ultimately could be a flooding hazard. And historically, you know, this has been funded by the Army Corps of Engineers, but it's been very difficult in recent years to get that funding. So it was an interesting event. We'll see where it goes. But I was at least glad to see a lot of community members there waving lots of signs and hoping that Army Corps of Engineers is listening.
Well, I just want to kind of follow up on that. I think it is important to get the river dredged.
Yeah.
But just so the listeners understand, the reason the Army Corps of Engineers has not dredged is because we do not have the commerce,
the commercial tonnage
on the river. So we have to understand this is not the Corps of Engineers does not dredge for pleasure boats.
Right.
And that's been the problem. But we have to look at flooding.
Yeah.
We do have 13 tributaries that come into the Petaluma River, and then they go down to the basin.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my cousins all call it a slough. So
it is
a slough.
It confuses people because it was, in fact, my understanding, maybe someone can correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is we deliberately called it a river so that we could qualify for dredge funding in the first place.
Well, that's what happened. Exactly.
But it is actually a slough.
Yeah.
People get very confused about it because why is it so dirty? It's like, well, it's mud. It's what happens with silt and
exactly.
sloughs. It's not a freshwater river. Although there are, as you mentioned, there are tributaries that go into it.
Well, there's 13 tributaries upstream of the basin.
So it's brackish.
Yeah. So is the tide in or out when you're down
there?
I think they planned
that. They timed it.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's really funny. People don't understand. I'll you know, post pictures of the Petaluma River when the tide's up, and I get a comment from a friend in Germany. What? How could that be? I thought you were in a drought. It looks so full. It's like, because it's not a river. It's from water from the bay.
Yeah.
And, of course, with climate change, you know, we're going to be more vulnerable to possible flooding with higher tides. So there was the commercial tonnage argument. I think there's a strong safety argument ultimately, but, you know, we'll see where that lands. I think the last I heard from Jared Huffman, I just caught the very end of his pitch, was basically asking for some sort of funding in lieu of us ultimately being able to take this on ourselves. So that was kind of the gist of his case, was like, okay, you know, ultimately this is something that we can try to do ourselves. But in the meantime, if we can get over the hump and get some funding and...
Is this for the full 14 miles? This is what I'm unclear on. Or is it just going to be a partial dredge like they did the last time?
It's a very good question, and I don't know actually if they don't even know if they got that detailed in their presentation. And again, I showed up late. So
one more point is that, you know, with institutional knowledge, people need to realize with the Corps of Engineers flood control project, the more upstream development you have, the more flooding we're going to continue. And we are continuing to move to build upstream of this, of the flood control project.
Exactly.
And so the city needs to really open their eyes and look back. And institutional knowledge seems to get lost in this community. But this is the Corps of Engineers. This is their documents, not something that I'm making up.
It's institutional knowledge, and then it's also knowledge of what's going to be happening in the future based on rising sea levels.
Right.
So that, I think, raises the stakes for the argument for dredging just simply to avoid flooding. But we'll see where that goes. Anyway, that was nice that our mayor did that. I hadn't seen previous mayors go to that extent in terms of getting community involvement, and hopefully it makes a little bit of a difference.
I believe that they are still taking pledges online, are they?
It was supposed to stop Monday. The email I got from the mayor suggested that was the deadline.
Well, I think there was 3,000 signatures because there were 2,000 on one notice that I saw, and then all of a sudden it was 3,000, and I think that's the number that they stopped at.
Well, I guess folks can go to care2.com and check and see if that is still active. That would be care2.com, and then you browse for Dredge Pledge, and sign it if it's still available.
Yeah. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of coverage of this in the paper.
I'm sure.
So people can check it the next day or so.
You know, there's another thing that I think I'd like to talk about, and it's the survivor recounts Gilroy mass shooting. So a woman that was in Nevada or Reno.
Oh.
Where the shooting was. I think Reno.
I can't remember.
There was a shooting about a year and a half ago in
Las Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so this same woman was at the Garlic Festival. And so there was actually three of them together. And this is like PTSD when you go through something like this. And so what the Santa Rosa Fair is now upping their security, which I appreciate, because, you know, we have a lot of people in this county that are angry racists. And you know, listening to these odd sites, you know, just kind of promoting it. And so, you know, we can't pretend that this can't happen here.
No, it can happen anywhere.
But when I was in dental hygiene school, a way to make money for your class, because at the end you would do something for the clinic, we actually parked cars. We're car parkers for the Gilroy Festival.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really dirty. And it was super hot, but we made, like, in those days, like, $700, and then I don't know what we did. We did something with the bathroom to upgrade it, you know.
Nice.
Yeah. And so there was a little connection there also.
Well, speaking of security, you and I had an event this week that involved smart security.
Yes, we did.
The Sonoma Marin area rail transit.
Yes. Well, Cindy and I
kind of bored with ocean
well, kind of, but not really. Cindy and I were actually doing some videoing of the traffic congestion on Corona and McDowell.
Okay.
And so we were around the smart rail tracks, and we saw a train go by. Well, we wanted to know when the next train was going by, because we wanted to video just so people could get a sense of how fast the train is going, how small the rail crossing is. And so I decided to call SMART to find out when the next train was going.
But you called the emergency number.
No, I called the regular number first. They didn't answer. And so then I called the emergency number, and they say, is this an emergency? I said, no, this is not an emergency. No, I gave my name, and I said, I'm by the Corona rail crossing, and I need to know when the next train's going by, because my friend and I are doing a video down here. Well, next thing you know, Cindy notices that a SMART car is down by the river.
After she made that call, I go, oh, great. They're probably wondering if you're waiting for the next train so you can throw yourself in front of it.
And I said, no, they're not. Well, yes, they were.
Oh,
and so Sam, the guard, drives up, security person, very lovely man, waited for about an hour and a half, or an hour and 15 minutes there, until the 12 o'clock train came.
But he arrived there after the phone call within minutes.
Within minutes. It was amazing.
Did they send you an invoice?
No, please don't do that. And so I said, well, let's go ahead and do our video. So Cindy and I, we walk up the Corona overcrossing, and, you know, all these, you know, we see some other bicyclists going through, and, you know, we're videoing this area. And because I told Sam, I said, we'll be back about 10 minutes to 12.
Yeah, when we saw that car pull up, Janice goes, oh, look. And I said, yeah, he's probably there because he thought you were throwing yourself in front of the train. Yeah. She goes, no, he didn't. So we walk up to him, and I said to him, so why are you here? And he said, well, because of the phone call.
Wow.
So I want to give kudos to SMART.
Yeah.
For really being on top of this and staying the entire time. And the second the train went by, I shook his hand and Sam left.
And
I know all about Sam now. He's a great guy.
And
I knew that.
And lesson learned, do not call the emergency number unless it's an emergency.
No, I don't think it honestly doesn't matter what line you called.
Oh,
if
really?
You called and asked that question, they would have. They're on it. So it really
doesn't
matter.
If you get a call about anybody near railroad tracks for any reason, they are there.
But
yeah,
your question was just, when's the next...
I said, when's the next train coming?
What would you say, I'm on the tracks?
No, I'm on the tracks. But I do want to just talk about when people decide to commit suicide this way.
Yeah.
You have a conductor that is in the front of that train.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, the conversation with Sam was a good conversation.
Yeah.
These people, they see the eyes of these people before they hit them.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and this affects a lot of people.
Oh, no.
And
no,
but the conductor...
They immediately put him on leave.
They put on leave for, like, was it two weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And there's one guy that hasn't even come back. And
yeah, I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, but they have to be actually vetted through the FPPC.
Mm.
Oh, no, what's the federal...
too many acronyms.
Training organization.
Exactly. Well, they have to have a license for this. I mean, you just can't decide to go up there and I want to be a smart train conductor. There's actually a whole process. You have to have a license, just like a pilot has to have a license. Mm-hmm. So that's an unsmart.
Okay. Federal Railroad Administration.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a long list of things to talk about. But before we do that, I want to bring somebody else into the conversation here, our guest. Today we have Jeff Trier, who's the operations manager right here at Petaluma Community Access. Good morning, Jeff.
Morning.
So he's kind of the reason the microphones are working right now.
Yeah.
He's a lot of things in this building.
Yeah, he does a lot of things.
Well, thank you.
So, cool. Tell us something about yourself before you tell us all of those things that you do here. Do you live here in Petaluma?
Actually, I live in Santa Rosa.
Okay.
And I was fortunate enough to get hired here from Santa Rosa. I used to work at an access station starting in 2000.
Is that the one up in Santa Rosa?
Yeah. So it's been almost 20 years, which is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. And how long have you been here with Petaluma Community Access?
Since 2016, I believe. So it'll be 3 years in November.
Yeah.
So the station in Santa Rosa, is that run the same as the Petaluma station through...
it was.
The franchise agreement.
Right, then they shut it down.
Yeah, they went into bankruptcy because there was some issues with money and stuff that... it's in the press and there's some litigation going on. I don't know if it's over or not.
Yeah.
But essentially, when that AB 2987 bill passed...
Which is...
It's the bill where, each city used to be able to negotiate with the cable companies that came in,
correct.
And they were to be provided, the cable companies would provide equipment and studio space and all of that. And then when AB 2987 passed in 2006, it took that power out of the city's hands and put it in the state. And so Comcast or Pac Bell or whoever, they would go to the state and negotiate. And so essentially instead of providing equipment and training and all that stuff, they just had to pay a fee. So that fee really is the amount of that money was negotiated between, the state. And so individual cities, some bigger cities got to keep their funding because the state, recognized them more than like smaller cities and towns like Petaluma or Santa Rosa. I mean, they're big, but they're not, Sacramento or San Francisco. And so slowly over the country, many of these centers shut down just through atrophy. And the Santa Rosa one was barely hanging on. It went from a staff of 15 people down to about, and 15 full-time people down to about 4 part-time people. And then it just kind of got worse and worse and worse. Until finally, now Santa Rosa Access is a kind of a closet in the library where you get the equipment, and there's really no studio as far as I know or anything like that.
It's really surprising with the size of Santa Rosa, and what I'd like to know is what governor was in when this happened, because these ABs have to be signed by the governor, don't they?
Probably Brown.
Well, I'm wondering, is it Brown or was it Schwarzenegger?
I think it might have been Schwarzenegger.
It sounds like a Schwarzenegger thing, not a Brown.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's about 2006? Who was the governor in 2006?
We can find out real quick. We're really glad that you're here.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So how did you get into Access Media?
It's kind of funny. By accident, really. I'd actually come out of college to be a network technician, and I was in vocational rehab, and we were kind of in dire times. So I was injured. I was actually considered permanently injured, but I got better. But I went through vocational rehab and, wanted to be a network tech, but nobody would hire me because even though I had really great grades and all of that, I had no, quote, real-world experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at about 3 months for me and my family to possibly be homeless.
Mm.
And so I just applied for anything. So I, you know, was looking for secretary jobs. It didn't matter. And so Santa Rosa, they interviewed me and they hired me as their scheduler. So I started in this vocation, you know, at the ground floor. And then I kind of moved up. I went from that to doing that plus training people in how to edit and use the cameras and stuff. And then I moved into doing that plus being a webmaster because I have a coding background.
Oh, wow.
And then a couple years passed by, and then the lead for the playback department left, and Lori Ciravello, the executive director at the time, knew, like, you know, I had a technical aptitude and asked me to apply for it, and I did, and then I got it. Then I was, when I was there as a playback technician, I was really fortunate. We were part of an EOC for, you know, for Santa Rosa and all of that, and we ran the iNet, which is a, it's a network that the emergency centers use, you know, police, fire department, all that to communicate through fiber optics. And so the engineer that ran that needed an assistant, so then I kind of got into that and helped him, you know, maintain that. And it just kind of grew from there. And in the end, I pretty much, aside from being an executive director, pretty much have been every position, really.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Empire.
Okay.
Yeah, it's that's in Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty good school.
Yeah.
They typically, I think they're really well known for business and medical,
law.
I think. Yeah, law. That's it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I used to have a friend who was a professor at their law school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And offered to let me sit in on some classes, and I didn't. Sorry, I didn't.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad about
yeah.
the Santa Rosa station.
Yeah.
That meant that we got you, so.
Yeah, that's a good
yeah,
idea.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you do here at PCA?
A little bit of everything, really. I do the IT and the audio video infrastructure work, and I provide technical support for both the radio and television.
Mm-hmm.
I maintain the three channels, 26, 27, and 28, on the television side. And on the radio side, I help create bulletins and stuff like that, audio bulletins, and I train people in how to edit. I really kind of do a big mix. I also do a lot of work with the city in their audio video room. So
mm-hmm.
if they have any problems
right.
with Granicus or something.
Yeah. Our listeners might not know, but we have another mini studio over at City Hall
yes.
where we are responsible for videotaping various meetings, including
yeah.
the city council meeting.
Yeah.
And Jeff has to oversee that as well.
Yeah.
Well, it's
yeah.
live, too.
Patty actually... Patty Nuovo, she runs the, you know, she basically trains the
right.
interns down there, or access assistants.
Right.
But if they have a problem, whether it's audio issues or recording problems, then they give me a call, and then, you know, I help them out on the phone.
Right. And you have to do the maintenance on the equipment as well.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Yeah. So you've got a lot of jobs here.
Yeah, it's all fun, though. I prefer to have a lot of variety in what I do. I don't think I could just do, you know, one thing. I don't know if I have ADD or what, but I need to,
yeah.
you know, keep busy doing stuff.
That's good.
And then certain members of PCA have access to various pieces of equipment to be able to make their own videos for
yeah.
TV
yep.
and
correct.
Also for radio. And you are responsible for a lot of that as well.
Yeah, a lot of the training, the production members. We have a lot of different membership tiers, but if you're a production member, then, you know, you can go through camera training, and then you can just check out equipment. You just pay, like, a yearly fee, and I can't remember. Oh, actually, that's all right.
Yeah.
And
website.
Yeah, and everything is included. So, you know, people can come in, become a member, a production member, and they can check out cameras, mics, and all that stuff and do TV, or if they would like radio, they can go through that vein, or some people like to do both. Some people, you know, whatever you make here is yours, so if you want to come through here and turn your radio show into a podcast, we air it on television, and then after that, we don't own any of the rights to any of this stuff. It's all yours, and yeah, it's kind of a public service that we do.
That's cool.
That's a great service.
Are you also a content creator yourself?
Mainly, I'm more into video game programming, but the content that I create is actually I help other people create content.
Uh-huh.
Really,
you're a facilitator.
Yeah,
but you say you make video games.
Yeah,
so you're actually programming. You're coding some video games.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Anything I would have heard of or something you haven't released yet? Or?
If you've been on Steam, I only make free games because I don't know. I don't have any, visions of grandeur or anything like that. So, I have Super, which is free. It's a superhero comic book game, and it's on Steam. And,
oh, how cool.
Another one called Shadow Hunter, which is sort of like Minesweeper with good graphics.
I'll just check with my son. I'm...
I have no clue what they're talking about, but barely.
So Steam, as I understand, I have a very basic understanding, is a platform for games and for game development
and
for selling. Like my son tells me he makes characters that he then sells.
Yeah, you can. It really allows you to do all kinds of stuff. Yeah. But it's basically just a venue to get your digital creations and send them out there, or to purchase or get for free other people's creations.
So if you do this, okay. So if I'm looking, all of a sudden all these ads come up, which is driving me crazy. But can't you connect with ads so that you actually get paid for what you're doing?
Well, if you chose to.
Yeah, and I that stuff annoys me. So I don't. I would rather just. I do it for the love of it.
I like that much better.
You could do a shareware thing. If people want to pay you, they can give you the donation.
You can, but the funny thing is the video game. The video game market's so saturated that even if you make a really great game and you put it out there, it just sinks to the bottom of the pile of other.
You have
games.
To put a lot of investment into the marketing.
Right.
That's true also for the mobile apps. There are just so many of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you get featured, you can do pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do that for a living.
I think you should connect Jeff and your son together. Yeah. That would be a team. The younger one with another creator.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I used to teach video game programming to kids at the Schultz Museum a few years ago.
Oh, really?
And I did that for a few seasons, but it wasn't a solid enough job for me to keep doing. I was sort of like a hired contractor. That's how they wanted me to.
Have you thought about doing that through PCA?
I don't know. It would be kind of nice if we would go from a media center to a multimedia center.
Yeah.
And then, stuff like that. But
we might have to do that with TV not being so common anymore and people getting rid of their cable TV and relying more on Netflix and YouTube and
right.
all that stuff.
Oh, that's
yeah.
That's
yeah.
What
and
I
think what Cindy's alluding to is the way in which PCA is funded, which has a lot to do with the PEG fees that are tacked on to cable bills.
Right. Okay, and PEG means public education and government.
Yeah, thank you.
Those are our three stations. So 26 is the public, 27 is education, and G is government.
Thank you for defining the acronym.
Yes. We have a tendency to use a lot of acronyms.
Well, I forgot what they stood for, so thanks for
that. I remember PEG fees. It's perfectly okay to forget what something means. Or look,
But anyway,
it's okay.
Anyway, so in theory, if fewer people opt for cable subscriptions, it ultimately could impact revenue streams for PCA. So, so if you had a class... For kids, maybe, for video game development.
Or anyone, yeah.
That would be very, very cool. In fact, I might even take that. Anyway, something to think about. So you do,
I'm
so
still lingering on the multimedia side.
I think it's a good thing, and Jeff is the perfect person to make it happen.
No, thank you.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Really, I enjoy working with you. You're really easy. You explain things to me as, we video and then, downloading them and just showing me basic things like putting them in a file. But we're going to be working more, together.
What Janice is talking about was that piece we were talking about earlier where we were videotaping on Corona.
The smart screen.
Oh, yeah, we had it. Well, in fact, let's take it from the beginning. We came in and we talked to Jeff and we said, we want to do a video and... He gave us lessons on how to use the video camera.
Right.
And we went out and we made the video. We brought it back. And Jeff is now going to teach us how to edit it.
Exactly.
And here at PCA, we have a whole editing suite with a bunch of computers, Apple computers, mm-hmm. with software for editing. Final Cut Pro. And is it Pro X now? Or
Yeah, Final Cut Pro 10.
Yeah, Pro 10, okay. Yeah. And see, I have taken the lessons.
Yeah.
But if you don't use it, you lose it. Right. So I'm having to learn it all over again. Anyway, so that's what Jeff is doing.
Yeah.
We're keeping him in business, aren't we, Thomas?
Yes, we are.
Job security.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I just want a question. When you worked in Santa Rosa, did you have benefits with, like, government benefits?
At first, we had, actually, we had really good benefits when we first got there. I mean, we were able to go to chiropractic and acupuncture and all kinds of stuff, and that was all a benefits package that our center just did with it. We got a lot of money back then. You know, back in 2000,
right.
You know, we were really well funded.
Right.
So yeah, everybody had full benefits. And
but was it part of the Santa Rosa government? Were you working for Santa Rosa?
Oh,
or
no,
was it separate?
It was. Basically, it's what that center did with the money. So they would be given a bunch of money, and then okay, now you guys decide what you want to do with it. And our executive director had so much money that we could afford benefits.
Right.
You know.
It was a nonprofit organization as
That's
well. Correct.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember reading all about, when all this was coming down, but it's been quite a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good.
So
yeah.
You mentioned that before you got into this, you had a different job and there was an injury.
Yeah. I used to work for Rayadyne, which is a liquid chromatography company, and I just did shipping and receiving. Well, they had me do quality assurance and stuff, but in shipping and receiving, the tables were really low. I'm a 6'3", 6'4", so I had to bend down a lot, and we did really high volume shipping at 75 pounds a box.
Ouch.
And we were shipping all over the country, just hundreds of boxes a day, and my back went out on me, and then I went and had it x-rayed, and it turns out I have scoliosis and kyphosis, and then that plus just all the lifting in high volume, it just decimated my back, and then they had to put me in voc rehab because I couldn't do that anymore.
Right.
And then that's kind of what got me into going to college for computers and stuff, because
that's
really what I loved.
Cool.
Yeah.
What's kyphosis or?
Kyphosis? Well, they have, scoliosis is the curvature of the spine forward and backwards. Kyphosis is curvature of the spine sideways. So if you see somebody kind of shaped like an S kind of sideways, they have kyphosis. A lot of times, you always have a mix of both almost, So you see people kind of with twisted spines. They have, both going on. But it also depends on why their spine's twisted. But that's basically what.
I know somebody that has that. It's very interesting. Yeah, a couple people.
So have you had any stressful situations where stuff wasn't working and people were...
Oh, here at PCA?
Giving you a hard time.
Never.
And,
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the culture of access, maybe, but everything's pretty laid back. I mean, there are emergencies, like if the radio goes down, you need to, fix it. But I kind of tied everything into, I have the ability to remote in and stuff like that, so I don't really have to run down or, if something is out. But, there's really no... I guess the biggest stress is if City Hall, recording doesn't happen or something, then I have to scramble to grab backups and stuff.
So maybe you could explain for the listeners. So we're on the air right now, and we're on the air because we're talking through these microphones, going through mixing desks, and then it goes to somewhere to be transmitted. Where does that happen?
Yeah, it goes from the board, and then it goes into a rack that we have that then splits off the signal.
Is this through a cable?
It's actually through the internet, really.
Okay.
Yeah, so we send one stream out through a streaming service.
Okay.
And then so that's how, for the people that are listening to this through our website, that's that pathway.
Okay.
Then another pathway actually goes to the Petaluma Junior College, where our main tower is.
Okay.
So, thanks to those guys, that was really awesome.
Right.
And I've heard sometimes that's been a challenge there where you've had trouble with the antenna or the transmitter?
Every once in a while. It's really rare. But now we have everything kind of dialed in. This station's relatively new. I think it's probably maybe been a year and a half since it's been operational, something around there. Yeah. And so in the very beginning, we were having troubles with some of the software that we were, our automation software, or the communication lines would you know, kind of go intermittent. Our brick links would lose connection, but, you know, we kind of fixed all that stuff. So we haven't actually had any problems in quite some time.
And it's low power FM, so what's the range approximately?
As far as kilometers or meters, I don't know, but we basically, you know, we can transmit. I think I start losing signal somewhere around Cotati if I'm driving on 101, and then up north, I think it hits the next city or somewhere close to there. It's actually a pretty, it covers all of Petaluma, which is great. And I mean, that's really
that's the
main focus.
Now, Jeff, could you describe what automation is? Like, we've referred to it a couple of times, and that's a big part of your job, too. So why don't you describe what that is?
Sure. Automation is, you know, the music that you hear when you're not hearing a live program. That's all going through a computer. And automation is essentially a real fancy jukebox that we sort of program to play certain types of music at certain times of the day.
Okay.
And we can insert things like, you know, it'll randomize station IDs and PSAs and promos and things like that. And that basically is always running 24/7. Well, actually, we have it programmed now to stop at midnight, and then it starts again at 6 in the morning. But that's just always...
That's going to change, though, correct?
Yeah, that's my understanding. We're actually going for a license.
It's going to be really 24/7.
Yeah, yeah. And so we just have to wait for the FCC stuff to go through for that, which is fun, always. But, yeah, and then automation just is always running in the background. So when, for instance, you know, you guys started your show, you just faded it out and faded in your show.
Right.
And
automation is running right now. Here's automation.
So if we died or something, then we can switch to
automation. Exactly.
That's great.
And that's what we'll do. When we end our show at noontime, I'm going to turn that on. And
cool.
You're going to listen to...
Okay.
I don't know if you're wild. Anyway,
case of an emergency.
Yeah.
Ride the fader.
Speaking of emergency, we have emergency broadcast capability as well.
Oh yeah, system. All radio stations are supposed to have called emergency alert system, and it's tied in to other stations. And we actually receive two other feeds from other radio stations. We're sort of all chained together. And we send signals to each other doing tests and things like that. By law, we have to do a test every week, and then we have to do one every month.
Oh, so is it an automated process? If there's an emergency, it just happens? It comes through the system?
Yeah, we actually, after we set it up, then it's really, you know...
But you don't have to do anything.
No, FEMA sends a signal, and
That's good. Hate to be the guy that's like, oh yeah, I was on my break. And
oh yeah.
Sorry.
Eating donuts while the fires are happening.
Yeah.
I saw Chernobyl recently, so
about
that.
I've seen that.
But this is just radio. We don't have a nuclear plant.
We have earthquakes.
We have earthquakes and fires now.
Yeah. Now we can say we have fires.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm about to get a houseboat. Have to worry about that.
Oh, really?
Is it made out of wood? No. No, I'm not really going to get one, but that's the thought. Yeah.
That's a good thought.
Yeah. Well, it's great. Great that you were able to be here today and tell us what you do. And
thanks for asking.
Thanks
for all the work you do.
Yes. Oh, you're welcome. It's fun.
We appreciate it.
Yeah. We wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for you.
Well, and how can people become members of PCA?
It's real easy. Actually, come down and take a tour. We're here at 205 Keller Street in Petaluma, right behind the old West America Bank on the corner of Washington and Keller. You can go online at kpca.com.
PCA.tv.
PCA.tv or kpca.fm.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah, I just went to PCA.
Anyway, find out our hours. Come down, take a tour. You'll be impressed, and hopefully you'll be so impressed that you'll want to join up and be a member. And we have different levels of membership. Like we mentioned, you can have the producer membership where you have access to all of the goods, which would include the studio here that we're sitting in. We also have another studio, Studio B, where pre-recordings take place. Or if you want to make TV, we've got a TV studio. We have cameras so that you can do off-site filming for your TV show. And those are all under the producer membership level.
It's pretty reasonable. It's $100 per year for the general public, $75 per year for seniors or students.
Right.
And that's a producer membership, so that gives you access to everything, right?
Yeah. Including awesome. Jeff.
Exactly. I want to raise one issue that when you talked about West America Bank.
Okay, well, hold on. Let's not go there yet.
Okay.
We don't want to forget this one. We don't.
Okay.
That's why I'm kind of wrapping up, because Jeff's going to want to be part of that conversation, too.
Exactly.
So the general membership.
So the supporting membership starts at $50 per year for seniors or students, $75 per year for general public.
Right.
And then there's also a household membership, which gets you voting privileges, PCA newsletter, and on-air acknowledgement for one person, use of PCA media resources, and basic training on equipment for up to 3 designated member producers, $125 per year for 4 designated members. Oh, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you have a household of people that want to put things together. You can get a little discount there. There's also business sponsorships, which do give you voting privileges, PCA newsletter, and on-air acknowledgement for one person, use of PCA media resources and basic training on the equipment for up to 3 designated members of $200 per year. Wow, I didn't know about all these different memberships. And then there's a nonprofit organization membership at $150 per year. So it's quite a few options.
Yes, there is. And I just want to mention the voting rights that Jason's referring to. When you're a member, that you will be entitled to vote on the annual election that takes place, and we have one coming up in September. And if you become a member, you still have time. You can vote on who will sit on the board of directors here at PCA, and any changes to our bylaws has to be done by membership vote. There's a couple of things, but those are the two primary reasons you would vote here at PCA.
Yeah, and you can also apply to be a board member.
Which we do need board members.
Yeah.
We have 3 open seats on a 9-member board. So.
Wow.
We're going to be making appointments in September when we have our election. If you want to be a board member, PCA.tv.
You know, I should also say.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I should also say that one of the other things that we do is we have people from high school who come here and become interns, and it counts towards their hours because there's this, thing where you have to have
community
volunteer
service.
Hours, and we provide that. We get a lot of good help from that. And also, for some of the college classes, we count as credit for some of, depends on your teacher, and they have to contact us, if you go to Sonoma State or the JC or something, and we can train you. And we basically, we put you on tasks that'll help you.
How old do you have to be?
High school age. And
tell my son about this.
Yeah, and if for that one, I'm not quite sure if you need parental consent or something to sign. Actually,
sure.
I think if you're under 18, you need to sign
your
parents.
So if Janice gets arrested for jaywalking like she's always doing and has to do community service,
we don't tell her that kind of community service.
Not that I was a jaywalker. I knew that I pointed that out to you yesterday. Yeah,
I actually did.
I didn't realize that.
I did community service for PCA once.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know we provided that.
You guys are
going to
put me in jail.
What did you do, Jason?
It's really dumb. I got a ticket, but I was able to do community service through PCA.
You did?
Really?
Were you a board member at the time?
I don't think so.
Wow. This is big.
Yeah.
Yeah. This gets out around town. I mean, you're going to be
fun. I think it's too late for...
That's
no,
great.
But it was great. I helped list some items on eBay. Wrapped up some hours.
So you did online shopping as community service?
Well, I had to list items, and it took hours.
How many hours was your community service?
I don't remember. I completed them.
That amount of hours. Oh, that's funny.
That was great.
So speaking of citations, did you see in the paper the 72-hour parking article?
I did see that.
Uh-oh.
It's interesting. Can I talk about my issue?
Well, yeah, I just want to say, who wrote the article again? Was it Yosef?
Yosef.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good article, and he only could write as much as he knew.
That's right.
Unfortunately, the person he was interviewing, Paul Guerrero, didn't disclose that there were others in the meeting with Citi.
That's right.
Oh, boy, I need to see this article.
Yeah.
Which included myself and Janice.
That's right.
We were in that meeting.
Yeah, we were.
And I disclosed in that meeting that I was not there as an associate of Indivisible Petaluma.
And same with myself, except that I am a member of their Facebook page.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that they represent my views.
Well, I am not a member of their page.
Yeah.
And I take great pride in being neutral in this community, and I was a little taken aback when I saw that the article said that it was a 100% Indivisible Petaluma project.
Yeah. That should be clarified.
Well, I talked to Yosef yesterday, and then he had an interview, and so I'm going to be calling him again today.
Your retraction.
He probably should, too. Yeah. At least just some sort of a retraction. Yeah. Our names were not mentioned in the article, but the bottom line is we were at that meeting.
Are you in the picture? Or
no, there was no picture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it was interesting. I was talking to some of my neighbors. My issue is that I have basically a commercial fishing boat in the neighborhood. It's been mm-hmm. there for 3 years. And
not yours.
No, it's not my boat. It's a firefighter's
it's
boat.
It's a Crooked Hooker.
And it's called the Crooked
Hooker. Is it really?
It's called the Crooked Hooker.
You know, I remember a boat called the Dirty Hooker.
Well, this is the Crooked Hooker. And it's been there for 3 years. And I know that boat does not move every 72 hours.
Uh-huh.
And so this is one reason why this ordinance needs to be changed.
Well, don't we have laws against hookers being on the street?
We're not sure. We'll deal with that one when the hotels up north are being built.
Yes.
Cindy and I found out when we went to the pleasure store and found out.
What?
Cindy and I went up into the pleasure store.
I've seen it.
And so we decided we were curious
and went in.
We decided after the high time to stop in and check it out.
After we left the dispensary, we went to the pleasure store.
You guys were hot.
No, we were. So,
yes, we were.
What did you see? Did you see anything interesting?
Well, yeah, there was all kinds of stuff in there. But what was most interesting is that the city is building hotels at the north end of town, and the business owner is quite happy about that. And this really makes me wondering about
what the hotel is going to be used for.
Well, yeah, and trafficking of women and young girls. And so I think it's just something that's an issue that's going to have to be addressed in this town, because it was certainly put in our face that what's going to...
But one thing, though, if you're looking for really good adult birthday cards and
whatnot... Oh, they're great. That's the cards.
Tons of cards.
Oh, yeah. Just cards, huh?
Yeah, all kinds
of
cards.
No, there's all kinds of other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clothing.
Yeah, I don't think people are going in there for cards.
Well, oh, no. I think so.
I do.
So. Oh, the cards are great. I mean, it's worth going in just for the cards.
Sounds like there's other stuff.
There's massaging oils and...
The cards, that sounds like a good alibi. You know, it's like the reason... Oh, yeah, you know... The Hallmark store closed, so I need to...
And this all started with the Crooked Hooker.
Yeah, the Crooked Hooker.
So I was talking to a neighbor that lives by the Crooked Hooker, and he was saying...
We're talking about a boat.
Yeah, a boat. I really had a hard time coming out of my house and seeing my 9-year-old daughter going, "What's a Crooked Hooker?" And then he was telling me...
fishing.
Then he was telling me something that I really wasn't thinking of. I don't know if you guys go fishing, but when I go fishing, I'm up at like... 4 in the morning, getting ready, you know, I get all my stuff ready, my gear ready, somebody picks me up around 4:30, and then, you know, we start our trek down to the boat. Well, that's what this boat is doing in a neighborhood, getting his gear ready.
Oh, so you hear it at like 4 in the morning?
The people that live closest to it say that I can hear this at that time, and I never really thought about that. And so it's not just that he's taking up 2 or 3 parking spaces in a cul-de-sac that... You can't afford
to move
parking. He's disruptive.
And he's running a business out of his own.
Well, whatever.
Oh, really?
Anyway.
I don't know. I don't know if he's running a business, but...
We just outed this poor person.
Well, no, I will tell you, I'll be really clear. I have turned this guy in, and he started retaliating and taking that boat putting it in front of my house.
Okay.
So that's just
I hear now that PCA has no affiliation with this position.
The opinion that's based on
exactly.
Those of the hosts and do not necessarily reflect
the host.
Policy. The hosts.
Hosts. But back to the 72 hours, I mean, the article, I'd like to see some corrections in the article or a few changes. But the point is that the city, our chief was there, Officer Brian Miller was there, city manager was there, Cindy, myself, Paul, and then he brought three observers from Indivisible to listen. And so we were having this discussion, mm-hmm. and, you know, so the city is basically going to be looking at this ordinance that was changed in 2003. A lot has mm-hmm. changed since 2003.
Right.
You know, things that you don't want to have happen is make it that motorhomes and boats can park on streets.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you so say they can't park on streets, so they you end up parking them in your driveway and then taking all your vehicles and putting
yeah,
them on the street.
That's what I do.
Well, exactly. That's what people do.
Yeah.
And so there, it's a discussion that's going to be coming up, and people should start.
What if you park on the sidewalk?
Well, that's an ADA problem, and the city doesn't do anything about that either.
Aren't households responsible for their sidewalk?
In front of her house.
You got to pay for it. She says it's wide enough for
a wheelchair. And I look at her and I say, Cindy, it is not. I don't believe it's wide enough for a wheelchair. And if you have twins in a double stroller sideways,
so
it's
not Cindy.
No, I am not going to Cindy. I will not do that.
Jason, you want to go with me after the show to get my trailer? I'm going to park it in front of you.
Oh, my God. You're going to get bad and hit my ankles or something or my knee.
What's the name of it? The Prowler. Your trailer is called
Midnight Prowler.
That is so weird. Why would you think of that? When you're thinking of a name for an RV, Prowler, really?
That is kind of scary.
Yeah, like what the hell?
What a crooked hooker for a boat.
Well, nobody bothers me when I'm camping alone.
That's true. And Prowlers, well, I don't know. If you are a Prowler, would you feel welcome there? It's like, I'm going to go to that one. It's named after me.
I would say that might be a possibility.
Could be a convention.
It's a welcome,
here.
Matt.
I would like
Prowlers.
To say that Elijah Cummings had a Prowler, which is really pretty scary.
Interesting timing, too. Do you think? I wonder if it has anything to do with all the rhetoric from our... Imbecile in chief.
I'm wondering what thing up with that rhetoric. What really concerns me is that he is trying to make people so angry, and I think he's trying to make riots, which happened during the last election. And I always say, interesting enough, all of a sudden there were all these riots, and the day that Trump was elected, there was never another riot. And so is that really what he's trying to create again?
Oh, no.
What do you mean there was not another riot? What about Charlottesville?
No, there wasn't a Black Lives riot.
We're going back to parking.
That's what we're talking about.
We're going back to parking.
Oh, come on. We like to go into the depth.
No, I wanted to you wanted to talk about the parking.
So what is
the West America Bank result?
Yeah. Oh, America Bank. Okay, so people
there's no result yet. The parking ordinance is being overhauled, and when we find out what it is, we're going to bring it back here.
Right. Awesome. And it has to go in front of the city council. You have to have hearings with this.
What are they trying to do? Are they going to limit my ability to park my car?
I think what they're trying to do is look at other ordinances. No, it's not really about cars. They're really looking at boats, cars, abandoned cars being on streets.
People living in trailers.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's the bigger picture, and it's becoming a real problem. And there's a lot of people that have called in about issues, and they're not being resolved because we have a 2003 ordinance. Yeah. But as far as the West America Bank and the parking next door to, actually it's across from Volpe's.
Yes.
So it's on the corner of Liberty Street and Washington Street. There's a new one.
No, it's on the corner of Keller and...
Oh, Keller.
Yeah, it's right
across
Liberty
from
Street.
The Phoenix.
I always call this the wrong street.
Across Washington from the Phoenix Theater.
Yes.
Thank you. And so a new owner purchased the building, and people would park in that parking lot. They'd go to Volpe's, or they would...
Because it was empty. Anymore.
And Jeff, even some of our employees were parking there because it was empty.
Correct. Yeah, for a very long time, many, many months.
And so now this guy is having people towed, and the towing can cost up to $500. And so I've heard that up to 35 cars have been towed. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know that Volpe's put something on their Facebook site on it. And so we just let people know, do not park there anymore.
Yeah.
And what bothers me most about this is that somebody buys a building. It is private property, so the person does mm-hmm. have a right to do this. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't look great for the community. Mm. And I just think it's sad that our community is going in this direction.
Yeah.
And you know, he could have put up a sign that said, on this date, we're going to start towing.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I don't believe, happened. And that would have been... in my opinion, the right thing to
have
done.
That would have been a great courtesy. Yeah. However, it's his property, and
it's very true.
On the flip side, it's more revenue for the city, right?
Well, you know, this is how people end up losing their cars.
No, I'm kidding.
You have people that have a car that's about $1,000 or $2,000,
and the other point is
they can't afford the $500.
And not only that, they can't afford to put money into the community.
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah. And so, just warning: do not park there. No. And like I say, and Cindy said, he does have a right to do this, and I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. But it would have been a courtesy to at least put a sign up and say, on this date, you will be
Do we have any idea of what kind of business is going to go there next?
No.
There was talk about a Starbucks, but I have no idea. I can't imagine.
Starbucks backed out. I don't know who's going in there.
Good.
Do you know, Jeff?
No,
yeah.
I don't.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When you buy a bank building, you're buying a vault, and those things are really hard to take out. And when I was in St. Augustine about 5 years ago, there was this bar. And it actually was in an old
place. I was just going to say, I went to a place like the federal building in Long Beach.
Yeah.
And it was very cool. And it was a little creepy at first because you're actually getting in this vault and they kind of close it behind you.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I
we have one of those in Petaluma. Do you remember the first edition?
You know what? That's what I was just
used to be
about that.
Where Staples is.
Exactly.
Remember, was the movie theater and the first edition were all in that big building. They tore that down, put up a Staples. First edition moved to the old bank.
That's right.
And the vault is where they stored the liquor.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because, I mean, this is a dilemma with people that own shopping centers. And, you know, it's like, I mean, when somebody said, why don't you tear down the building where the See's Candy is or the Wells Fargo Bank for the gas station? You can't just tear down these buildings when you have vaults. It's not that, it's not cost effective.
Right.
And so, but I really like the idea of going ahead and making this into a venue.
Hey, make it a dispensary.
That's a good idea. Here we go. Dispensary.
Get that building as a dispensary.
We haven't mentioned
exactly.
It so
not a bad idea.
All right. Well, we need to wrap up. You've
like
been listening
this.
To Inside Petaluma. I'm Cindy Thomas and Janice Kater Thompson. Jason Davies and I do this show every Friday from 11 to noon. What's going on this weekend? Petaluma Music Festival.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Petaluma Music
going.
Festival
tomorrow.
Is going? Tomorrow.
I have to check with family.
Yep. 12th Annual Petaluma Music Festival at the Sonoma Marin Fairgrounds. And all the proceeds for this event is going to keep music alive in our Petaluma schools.
We have an amazing music department.
It's really important to do that. And it's really fun to go to the festival. They have multiple stages. This year they've got ALO, David Nelson Band, Mother Hips, Royal Jelly Jive. Our very own Royal Jelly Jive is going to be there. I love them. Anyway, Moon Alice. I can't wait to see Moon Alice. Anyway, a lot of great bands there. So go to PetalumaMusicFestival.org and get your tickets if you don't already have them. And Janice,
what time is it tomorrow?
Yeah,
I believe noon? The gates open at 11:30 and the stages open at noon.
And how long?
And it runs to about 9 o'clock. Yeah,
cool.
So it's a full day and there's vendors there. You can get food and whatnot. So
fun.
Anyway, that's what's going on in Petaluma this weekend.
That sounds good. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And it was great, Jeff, to have you be on today.
No, thank you.
Thank you a lot, and thank you for all you do. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Thank you. And go to InsidePetaluma.com for our past shows and information about us.
This one will be posted later today.
Thanks a lot, everybody. See you next week.
See you next week.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Take care.